Father, tonight again, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that our faith is quickened, matures, everything and more, which comes by hearing your word, hearing by the anointing. And Lord, we want to thank and praise you for this. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us all together in unity and fellowship. And Father, may we receive now from your manner in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Well, as I was preparing for tonight, it's amazing how God uses things in which to bring about a teaching, a message, and confirm. But I had a sister in Christ who rang me, and indeed has been ringing me quite regularly for quite a number of months now, with regard to their wanting to move house, and they found a house down in Wiltshire, but the nightmare that they have been going through in which to sell their place, which is a family home, which is all going to be split up before four siblings, the nightmare behind this scenario is a real trial of faith. And she rang me this evening to say, Kim, you won't believe it, she said, it again has. And she said, I cannot tell the people who we want to buy this house from that again, this will be the second time that they've come back to say they're going to have this place. And she said, it sounds as though it's fallen through. The couple that want it were builders, the people wanting to buy their house, they can't get planning permission, which they hoped they would have got, which of course you would have thought all of that would have been dealt with before you go ahead and decide that you're going to have a house and so forth. And she said, I'm just really down. I feel I cannot take any more. It's just nothing but one thing after the other. She said, this is just, it's full of despondency. It's just, you know, you just can't take any more. And I thought to myself, well, this girl really has gone through it. There's got to be something at the end of this that God's going to glorify his name. And I felt myself saying, again, sister, what are we going to believe? Is God on the throne or is he not? Has he got this all under control or not? And I said, as negative as, and I said, boy, this is negative in the natural. But I said, God has got a higher plan. And I said, let us always keep sight of that higher plan that he has got for us and for each one of us, and particularly when it seems in the area where we're stepping out in faith. And I just felt she began to respond to this and said, yes, you're right, you're right. And I said, let's just continue keeping our eyes on the Lord. And I said, it might possibly be a season again of real warfare, just pressing in. But I said to her, and this is the key to it tonight, I said, sometimes Satan doesn't give up in his fight until right to the end. And I said, God sometimes permits and allows this for a reason. And the enemy will always fight and hinder until God says, the end, stop, because he's sovereign. And it's that tonight that I really want to emphasize and look on, and I'm calling this teaching tonight, are you still believing through the negative? Are you still believing through the negative? And this is something, I think, over the last couple of weeks that I, too, have been challenged with. And I just have become aware that we are now living in a time and a generation, even though we've got so much at our disposal, we live in comparative peace and prosperity. None of us, certainly in the West, are starving, are depraved, and yet every day we are bombarded with the negative. And we not only are bombarded with the negative with our own trials, our family situation, maybe at work with our job, but also with the news, if you listen to conversations, if you're standing in a queue, or you listen to people talking, or whatever it is, you are surrounded constantly with the negative. And there are times when, you know, you just feel you're being completely drawn down by this. It just feels as though there's no more fight in you. There's no more confession in you. It's just as though what little bit of mustard seed of faith you had, even that seems to have gone. And the worst thing about it is when you can come to a place where I just don't know whether I can be bothered anymore. And that can be quite frightening, because that's the real sinking feeling, when it feels as though your flesh and your heart also fail you. But God is still on the throne. And our faith, as weak as it may feel, and as battered at times as it is, there's something still with that is there that holds on, and that will still continue to believe God, even though it's so negative and looks completely the opposite. Feeling what you're seeing, what you're confessing even at times, and so on. And it's really those sort of gut reactions and experiences that I want to sort of address and talk about tonight. Because I'm sure most of us who are going on with the Lord and walking by faith have gone through this. And we're witnessing, I think, how Satan doesn't release his hold until right at the end. And I think the Lord is allowing this because this is where we're really developing, maturing and growing as sons. God, in the past when we were younger, we were babes in Christ, he knew just how far and how long at times to let us go through a trial. But our trials now at times seem to be so much longer. No let up. It seems as though you, praise God, enough, we've got the victory, we've broken through, and bang, you're down. You know? And it was like the testimony on Sunday that spoke to me of our brother about forgiveness. And I'm not going into details on this, but most of us heard the testimony and how that he said that I forgive and so forth. And then after saying that, then a double whammy comes out after that. That in that forgiveness, there are two other sins that had to be confessed as well. So I thought to myself, our brother had already built himself up, sought the Lord and everything for forgiveness. And then when the confession came out, there was two more to be added onto that. And I thought, that's exactly how the enemy at times tries to work. You think you've got that breakthrough, it's there, and then suddenly something else comes flooding in. And it reminded me of the story of Job, which is exactly what happened there. One thing after the other came flooding in. And what was it? Was it good news? Anything but. On the contrary. So how do you stand through that? Can we take that? Well, we have to go back to the basics, that God is completely in control, and that he wouldn't allow us to have what I call a double whammy unless he knew we were in that place, and that he's got a purpose, a plan, and a reason for that. And so God, I believe, allows this, and sometimes he wanted to have a hold right to the very, very end. And sometimes you think to yourself, Lord, why are you letting him hang on? Why are you giving him such power to hold on for so long? And of course, who are we to address God in that way? For he is sovereign and he knows all things. But I'd like just to highlight a few reasons that I wrote down why I believe God permits and allows this. And the first one, obviously, is that he allows the enemy to hold on sometimes right to the end, because that is the way
God is going to glorify his name. Other means, another way of glorifying his name, he would. But God is always ultimately, because he's jealous over his glory, over his name, therefore ultimately he's always going to look for that in your life, in circumstances, or whatever it would be. He's always going to look for the greatest impact that's going to give him all the glory. And he certainly knows how to do it. Again, I referred to Job earlier on, how that man went through what he went through. And yet, God was completely in control there, and God knew that was the way his name would be glorified. And it was ultimately glorified because Job never gave up on the faithfulness of God. Even though his wife told him to curse God and give up, yet he never did. And so ultimately God knew where his name would be glorified the most. Mm-hmm. And very often you find, and you have found it in your own life, that God is glorified more in faithfulness, staying with it, not giving up, than in anything else. Why? Because it speaks of endurance. And most people are not prepared to endure. You can't get them to stay sometimes 24 hours, never alone 24 years. So that is ultimately often where God gets the glory for his name. And that is through enduring, waiting. Abraham, again, another classic example. And how often the enemy used that he hadn't got his inheritance, his son, until eventually God blessed him with that. So, firstly, God sometimes allows the enemy to hold on right to the end because God is going to glorify his name. And the moment God says, that is it, Satan, enough, he has to release his hold. But he isn't going to release his hold until he is told to. Another point that I thought of in this, and the reason that God may allow the enemy to stay in there right to the last minute, is that none of the self that is in us gets in the way. So often, by the Lord allowing Satan to have that access as long as he does, because that is the way self is dealt with. That is the way self is got out of the way, in which then the Lord takes over and again gets all the glory. Now, I know these are no new great revelations, but they are telling us about what we're going through and why we go through what we go through. That is the point. We may have helped, but the point is, this tells us and shows us why we go through some of the things that we go through, and how strange and how nebulous it can be. And so it's ultimately because God gets us out of the way, and so he allows the enemy in the camp, holding, it seems, he's got the victory, the other hand, but all the while God is working behind the scenes, until eventually he says, that is enough. And just at the point when it seems as though you're going under, you can't take any more, you're utterly broken, that is when God takes over. And you know when he takes over, because your testimony and everything about you and your circumstances says, this had to be God, because I've given up. I was completely broken. I was completely the end of myself. And not only did I know that, but others could see it as well. And so this had to be God. This was the grace. This was the love and mercy of God. He took over. He raised me up. You see? And the enemy was there to try and destroy you, to kill you, to murder you. But God was one step ahead. And the moment he spoke the word, Satan had to release his hold. And another area that I found myself writing, why it seems at times the enemy has the upper hand and will hold in there, is that we keep in faith warfare until fully manifested. So sometimes God
is going to allow the enemy access, and it seems as though he just doesn't give up. He doesn't give up his hold. If anything, it seems he gets a stronger hold, but God is using that to get you into prayer and warfare. That is the way he builds you up as a soldier. He makes you a fighter. Sometimes, by allowing the enemy that access to remain in there, he's getting you to fight, which we would not do otherwise. Human nature, the flesh, wants peace, wants rest, doesn't want aggro. This is why today we've got the problems that we have, that a lot of men today in society and culture, because they want a peaceful life, a peaceful home and everything, they just turn their face away from their responsibility. That is very much in a man's nature. And that is why God has to go to the head to work with men, brothers, on this. It seems to be something that just comes to us. Leave me alone, give me a break, you know? You see it in the animal kingdom as well. I know I've said this before, but I love seeing these animal films, particularly when they're showing the lions. And you'll see the old lion there. He's lying down there, and he's got his concubine. He's got three or four females there. They're the ones doing all the work. They're watching over the cubs. They go out and hunt, and he's just lying there and just licks himself and enjoying himself. And I thought, how typical that is. That really typifies, you know, in human society as well. So, you know, even the animals are affected by it. But going back to warfare, the Lord knows how to get us off our backside. He knows how to deal with that mentality. There are times, aren't there, when we go with the Lord, it's like we just say, Lord, leave me alone. Let me just have a rest. You know, I've had enough. It's been a rough ride, this one. This has been a real hard trial and everything. I just want to have a break. And it seems as though God gives you anything but. I know I've tried it. I've tried it with the Lord. I've tried going to bed and sleep on it. I've tried sort of switching off. We tried all sorts of things, but it's as though the Lord doesn't give up. And there's always that nagging behind. Well, I know this isn't going to solve it. I know this isn't the answer and everything. And all the while it's staring at you. All the while it's nagging at you. And you know, until you get on your knees and you start to get in prayer and you start to rise up in the Spirit and get in warfare and intercession, and then suddenly it's like you've broken through. You've revived. And you need that. You see, God was working that because he was showing that that is the way you're going to get the enemy off your back. And sometimes we have to go through a season of warfare. There is a season for it. Like there is a season for so many things. So that's another way in which we get the enemy off our back. I could go on with that, and I'm sure you could add more with your list in that. But it's by faith that we receive the fulfillment of God's promises. And we must never ever forget this, no matter how far we move, we progress, and we are, we must never forget the basics, that it is by faith that we fulfill God's purpose in receiving the promises of his word. Without that faith, you cannot please God. And that is why God works with us in the way and the manner that he does. It seems at times that a lot of other Christians, when you talk to them, you know, that they're shallow in their commitment. You start to talk about faith and trials and everything, and it's like they take one step back from you. It's like, what are you talking about? It's as though, you know, you're on a different planet. It's because we see, we've had the revelation to the fact that without faith
it is impossible to please God, that our faith is constantly under attack by the powers of darkness. And I think at times we don't actually realize this. We're not actually always aware that our faith is under constant attack. And that is why it can look so negative. It can look at times so hopeless. It at times it, you feel as though you've just come to the end. You can't take any more. But stop and think when you're going through that. And just say to yourself, no, the reason this is happening is because my faith is under attack. And the enemy knows this, and he's trying to destroy that gift of faith that God has given through the new birth and through the baptism of the Spirit. And that's why we need never to forget things like it says here in James chapter 1, in which he says here, as you know very, very well, in verses 5 to 7 in particular, and he says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So that's one of the, it's a very profound statement there, because that tells us so clearly whether we are believing or not. And it so graphically puts what happens when you are battling and you haven't rest or settled it with God, and that you are not yet by faith in possession of the promise of God's word, because you falter. You waver. There is not that peace. You are hindered. You can't settle it. Now, there's a number of ways that this can manifest. And one of the subtle ways that this can manifest is that you take that promise that God has given in his word, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And for a while you're holding on to it, believing it. And then the enemy comes and he opposes. The enemy comes in and he starts to work that doubt in your mind. He's trying to snatch that promise that God has made to you. Because he's a thief in nature, which the Bible tells us. He's come to steal that from you. And some of the first signs that you are falling to the enemy's trap, and hear me out for what I'm saying here, and I say this because I say this from experience. Well, I better get in prayer about this. I better get in prayer, and I better get in warfare, and you know, and so on. And I better start opening up the Word of God and just look into those promises. I better start reading books, start getting into CDs and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that you are to do that. But we've all started doing that, or we're doing it just a little bit more than we usually do. They are the signs of you starting to falter, to waver. Because if you have the promise that God has given to you, you don't have to do that. You don't have to start becoming spiritual, religious, working at it to keep that promise. You either have that promise or you don't. That's how God works. Now, yes, we maintain, we hold on to the promises of God's word. Yes, we do. But even holding on to those promises, you don't strive at that. And we have tried that in the past. We've strived at it. Well, if I listen to this tape 100 times, on the 100th time, I will be healed of this cancer. Now, because there was someone who was healed that way, I believe, years back, that's the way you've got to do it. You see, if the promise is there, then the promise will know what to do. Because you've been promised. Faith knows what to do. And if you're copying someone who was healed that way, because you heard it in a testimony or whatever it is, they are the signs you're doubting. You're wavering. Because faith doesn't have to copy someone else. It's a revelation to you. And every revelation that God gives to you, which is his, are his promises, are fresh manna. It's not stale. It's not regurgitated. It's not what somebody else has done. That is the wonder, glory and majesty of God. If you possess, you have that promise in your possession, then you have it. And all you've got to do is keep it. And God isn't going to give you a promise that you can't keep. He isn't going to give you a promise that the enemy can come straight in away unless you have allowed him to. See, God doesn't work that way. That is the point. And of course we go back to the parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables Christ ever gave. The enemy's there. He'll snatch, he'll take it away. But anything that Satan's taken out of my life is because I've allowed him to do it. And because he had access in, because I am still at that point double-minded, I am wavering, I'm not secure. And that is why you've got to get back with God and be honest and just say, Lord, at the moment, I just don't know what he is, I can't understand, but I'm not yet in that place of faith. I know I should be, and I can only bow my head in shame, but the fact is, I'm not. So this hasn't taken you by surprise, and it most certainly hasn't taken Satan by surprise. The only one is taken by surprise because of my pride was me. And God wanted me to know that. That's what he's been doing with us over these last few years. And that's why it seems as though things at times have gone so wrong. You know, it's almost as though, why or how could this have ever happened after all these years? And it was because of that. Because God wanted you to know what also the devil knows, but he wanted you to know what you didn't know. And he did it by opening our eyes. And God can and he does do that. And the amazing thing is that when that happens, and you get it right with God and you confess and just wait on the Lord, suddenly it's like a ton weight off your back. It's a deliverance. It's a change. It's a healing. Hallelujah. James says, and he makes it so clear that the clearest sign you can have when you're not in faith, you are wavering. You're not anchored. You're not at peace. And so on. We know again in Mark 11:24, which says, wherefore, everything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Here again is a promise of prayer, that in that prayer of faith, in asking of God, you receive that promise that is yours in Christ Jesus. It is yours. It is freely given. That is what God says. Now the enemy doesn't like that. The enemy, who is a thief, a robber, stealer, murderer, he is going to come and try and take that. Now the way, one of the ways, and this is one of the main ways, is that you simply stand believing. You're not trying to resist him. You're not trying to get into warfare, trying to do anything, faith, then you don't have to try. And the enemy knows that. And all he tries to do is to trick you. He tries to let you think he has stolen it. Because he's given you an attack. Okay, he comes to attack us. But does it mean he's stolen that promise? No. Because he lied to you, letting you think he stole it. He's saying to you, I've stolen your promise, by the way. I've stolen your healing. I've stolen those finances. I've stolen whatever it would be, the promises. You're thinking, oh no, he's stolen it. He hasn't really. He hasn't really at all. And that's the whole point. And you let it over because you believe what he was saying. So when he comes and he's starting to try and take that promise from you, whatever it is, say, Satan, you haven't. You haven't taken it. And the reason you haven't taken it is because you're trying to tell me you have. And you give yourself away. Why would you say that? You see, I've said that. And I just say, get on with it and carry on. What are you going to do? I don't even have to get in prayer. I don't even have to rush to the word or whatever it is. I have spoken to the powers of darkness, which Christ did in the wilderness. You notice Jesus' trial and temptation in the wilderness. He just spoke the word. He's good as soul, Satan, you're a liar, and go. It was simple as that. He didn't run for support. He didn't start saying, oh, Father, give me some revelation from heaven. I just want to hear that you love me. And just tell me, you know. No. Because he knew that Satan couldn't take it from him. Whatever he would say, it was always a lie and contrary. But somehow we've got it where we believe, don't we? It's like society. It's like, you know, the news comes and they know. Sometimes you know that a person's lying. You know they're a liar. You know you couldn't trust them, whatever it is. And yet here it is, they say something else, and people are wavering. Knowing full well that person's a liar, and yet they're taking it on board. And I've said this to people sometimes. I said, what are you doing listening to that? You know full well he's a liar. You know he couldn't tell the truth if he tried, and so forth. So why are you even entertaining it? People sometimes just want to. Don't ask me why, but they just want to. People love to want to hear lies, even though they know in their heart it's lies. This is why newspapers sell like they do. People know that most of what is in newspapers is lies, fabricated, yet they still want to believe it and consume it. And you know this goes on still even in the house of God. I see it go on amongst saints sometimes, and I'm thinking, why have they put their ears to that? You know that's a lie. There's not a shred of truth in that, and yet somehow you want to believe it. Well, that is actually indicating exactly how the devil works. And he comes along, and you think, yeah, I think I like that, I'm going to believe that. That appeals to logic, you know. And then the Lord has to work with us and bring deliverance, and then we have to be chastened, or we come to the end of ourselves and so forth. Then you think, why on earth did I take that on board? I knew it wasn't really true, and yet something within me just wanted to believe it. It's like when the enemy comes with lies about a brother or a sister, and you know in your heart what is coming out and being said. You know that isn't true, and yet there's some other side of you wants to believe it and embrace it. You just have to bow your head and say, Lord, have mercy. But God is getting us there. And yet we do this with the promises of God. And one of the things the devil's doing now at the moment, it's no good you receiving, claiming those promises, because you know full well it doesn't work. You know the testimonies that have come out, people who believed and so on, and it worked out that nothing ever happened and so on. That's what I hear Satan saying now so often. He's very vocal now on bringing up the past over the 30, 40 years of us who've been walking by faith and saying, look, what is there to show? There's very little to show about all of this.
Where is the evidence? Where is the facts? Where is the fruit? And so on. That's what I hear a lot from the powers of darkness. And if he's saying it to me, I'm pretty certain he's saying it to my... I feel, and so on. Here we are, going back to feelings, emotions, and yet faith has got nothing to do with that. It is all about what God has promised. So, here we are, with all these promises that the Lord's given to us. You can read Matthew 20, 22, John 14, 12. All of these are promises that Jesus gave in the Gospels. Hebrews 11, 32 onwards, all the saints that walked by faith, seeing it from afar off, and yet believed, held on, wouldn't take second best. No, the enemy at the moment, what he's trying to do is working with attitude. You've heard it all before, and nothing's come from it. Well, we haven't heard anything unless, in God's mercy and grace, he opens our ears and eyes and heart to believe. So I haven't heard unless God desires that I do hear. And I do desire to hear. And so you see, it is the negative in which he's using to try and tie us down spiritually. He tries to tie us down in confusion. He tries to rob us of our expectation, our zeal, our joy. You see, these are all signs that James speak of somebody who wavers and so forth. When there's no joy there, the joy of the Lord, that is a sign you're wavering. You're not really believing. When there's confusion there, these are signs again that you're not really believing. When you've lost that expectation by faith, that you come to a meeting, coming prepared, believing. These are all signs you're wavering. That you are listening to the enemy who's telling you haven't really got those promises by faith. When actually you do have. But you go on like that and he will take it and steal it. And then what do you have to do? Well, you have to wait on God. And sometimes it can be a long wait where you have to repent, come back, sometimes walk it out. And then in God's mercy and grace, you start over again with the promise. You see, when you're looking to Jesus, you aren't asking how long. I know that's easier said than done, but when you're looking to him, his word, whatever, and it is a long time, yet there's not that how long, because that's what the enemy is saying to you. You see, Satan becomes very vocal through the waiting period, because we're not very good at waiting. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And certainly in this society and generation that we live in that wants everything now immediately, now, it comes pretty hard. But remember this, our whole life is waiting upon the Lord. So when the enemy tries to come and say, well, how long, and so forth, well, you've got news. Well, Satan, the Lord says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So my whole life and walk is a waiting on God, period. And somehow that how long that he's suggesting in which to take away those promises from your heart somehow become a little irrelevant. And I'm not saying that a trial is not a trial. And some trials you just find and feel that I can't take any more, I've come totally to the end. It's been 10 years, 15 years. How much longer, Lord? I can't take anything, I've come to the end of myself. They are real, that's real. And you know, the enemy tries to work on fatigue. tiredness. Oh, he works overtime on that. And I'm not saying at this point that the overcomers, the bride that's making herself ready, those wise virgins, I think at times they're fatigued, they're tired. It's got really dark now. It's almost at midnight. It's how long? You know, is he going to come? I don't know about you, but this is what I pick up at times in the spirit. Very little seems to be happening outwardly. There's just so much now going on in charismania that is just so way off. At times you have to watch your anger and frustration that God can allow so much of this just to go on. There's so much confusion. And confusion amongst Christendom, does it get better? No, it gets worse. And so all of this can build on fatigue. Battle fatigue. You know, just, I'm tired. I'm just, you know, at the end of myself. Well, this is where we have to keep our eyes looking to the Lord. Because the enemy is very vocal. And he is appealing so logically and using our experience and what outwardly is happening, what we're seeing. He's trying to use that in which to get us to fundamentally go back, to deviate, to compromise, to, yes, let him come in and just steal those promises of God's word which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. I'm very aware how he's trying to work. And that's why I call this tonight, Are You Still Believing Through the Negative? It is very negative. We're probably living now in a time and generation that is so negative. People asking so many questions. What is happening? Of course, we have the big question now in this country, what is happening to our youth? Since all these riots and everything, it's all coming out now. All coming out with their solutions, what they think is the root of the problem, and so forth. I bet you've not heard one of them say that the root of the problem is because they don't have Jesus. Don't hear that, do you? But that is it. That is the root of the problem. And the big basis, of course, is education. Well, education's no good unless Christ is educating you. And that's the point. So, all of these things, and they're going to get worse. They are building up. We are hearing of wars, rumors of wars, and so on. They're even now debating, does democracy actually work? That's the big debate that's going on now. Does democracy actually work? Is Europe working in the Western world? They're raising questions now and asking, does it work? And that tells me we're not far away from the Antichrist soon manifesting, when society, governments are asking these basic fundamental questions. They're looking for someone where it can work, because it ain't working. It's crumbling, and it's going to crumble. So there we are. Praise God, we're still in the race. We still have the promises. God is faithful. He is on the throne, and he's telling us not to listen to the devil's lies, to keep our eyes totally focused upon the Lord and him alone. And I believe these circumstances, everything that is going on around us now, are a means of throwing us yet more onto Christ. Are they not? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Father, tonight again we thank you for speaking into our lives, speaking into our circumstances. Lord, I'm sure most of us tonight have all have got our name and address on this teaching. But Lord, our heart's desire is to hear from you and you alone. And the promises that you have made us are a gift to us.